I was very inspired by the reference that Subal presented in the beginning of his offering, and I thought to start from that place. It fits in perfectly with the theme for this weekend. So it's a verse from the first chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila. Text number 44. This is a portion of Adi Lila where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining the Panchatattva. Panchatattva means five truths. The absolute truth, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead, and his various manifestations. And the first of those manifestations is called Swayam Prakash. A little technical, but it's in the verse. That means direct expansion, direct manifestation. As Balaram, our Siddhanta, teaches us this, that Balaram is the direct manifestation, a direct expansion of Krishna, Swayam Prakash. And thus, he's not different than Krishna, or he's the same as Krishna, except his complexion. Krishna's complexion is sham, or blackish, and Balaram's complexion is white, like milk, or well, we shouldn't say snow, because in Chicago it's like sand, and something like milk. Like a dove, like a swan. So, white. And there's one other difference. And that other difference is a very important difference. Birth again. I didn't finish my Krishna consciousness in my last life, and I had to take birth again. Can the crying child cry in a different place besides in the temple room? That would be nice. Hey, Jitendriya is turning on the chandelier. Thank you, Jitendriya. So from Balaram comes the mood of service that's the essential quality, the constitutional position of all living beings. Jivir Svarupaya Nityara Krishna Das. We're all servants of Krishna. That's our constitutional position. And we derive that from Balaram, who is not different than Krishna, except his mood is to serve Krishna. So after, here's text 43. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, having offered obeisances unto the Lord and all his associates, I shall now explain these six diversities in one. And the first one he chooses to speak about is the spiritual master, which is the verse that Subal quoted. The spiritual master of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was who? Lord Nityananda. So he's referring to his spiritual master, Lord Nityananda, but he's also, it's twofold, he's simultaneously referring to the spiritual masters who are direct manifestations or representatives of Lord Nityananda, because the service, all living entities are servants, but the service of spiritual master is an expansion of Lord Nityananda. So listen to the verse. Yadyapi amara guru chaitanyera das tatapi janya ami tanhara prakash. Tanhara prakash. A direct manifestation of the Lord. Tan is a pronoun. Direct manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Translation. Although I know that my spiritual master is a servitor of Sri Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda saw himself as a servitor of Sri Chaitanya, I know him also as a plenary manifestation of the Lord. So it's this double meaning. It's referring to Lord Nityananda, but it becomes very clear in the purport. Prabhupada is referring not only to Lord Nityananda is this Svayam Prakash, but the spiritual master, Guru, is Svayam Prakash. Prakash, a direct manifestation. Purport. Every living entity is essentially a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the spiritual master is also his servant. At the same time, the spiritual master is a direct manifestation of the Lord. Period. Not just Lord Nityananda, but the function, the service of, it's an empowerment. It's a one who to do any service, to walk across the room, we're empowered to blink our eyelid, to do anything. It takes some sanction of the Supreme Lord, some gift of the Supreme Lord, some capacity of the Supreme Lord to do anything that we do. And this particular service has this nomenclature. It's a direct manifestation. With this conviction, a disciple can advance in Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master is non-different from Krishna because he is a manifestation of Krishna. Paragraph. Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram himself, the first manifestation or expansion of Krishna, is the original spiritual master. And anyone else who is performing that function is serving Lord Nityananda in the capacity of spiritual master. Just assisting him, but just assisting, being the servant of one who is doing that service, it's very special. Just to be a servant of Krishna, we're all servants of Krishna. To be a servant of Krishna, on the one hand, it may sound demeaning. Oh, you're just a servant? But to be a servant of Krishna is very exalted. To be able to serve Krishna, very exalted. But to be able to serve Krishna requires empowerment. Otherwise, we can't serve Krishna. We require the mercy of a servant of Krishna to be able to serve Krishna. We require the mercy of Srimati Radharani to serve Krishna, or those who are representatives of Radharani in order to serve. Similarly, this understanding. Then, Prabhupada writes, since every living entity is eternally a servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, therefore, the spiritual master cannot be other than a servant of Lord Chaitanya. The spiritual master's eternal occupation is to expand the service of the Lord by training disciples in a service attitude, like a full circle. So the spiritual master is not Krishna. At the same time, he is to be considered a representative of the Lord, but representative of the Lord in a very specific way. in the specific way of being a direct manifestation. That's heavy. I mean, direct manifestation? So how can one even possibly think of oneself as direct manifestation of Krishna? How can one think like that? One can think like that in the humble mood of service. It's as any servant of Krishna is serving Krishna because Krishna empowers them to do so. It's a service to Krishna. And how is one to, Krishna teaches, how is one to become his servant? One who considers himself to be my servant, he's not my servant. One who considers himself to be the servant of my servant, he's my servant. It's a service. I was with, in South India, I was with Mother Irmala. Well, she happened to be in Tirupati when we came to Tirupati. She didn't know that we were going to be there, and we didn't know that she was going to be there. We just, Providence arranged it that we were at the same place. She was doing some service. She was giving seminars in different things, how to develop Vaishnava qualities amongst the temple members of the Tirupati temple. And we were there going on pilgrimage, so she came along and went up with to the top of Tirumala, and we had wonderful darshan. It was very nice. She had then to leave Tirupati, and she was to leave Tirupati through Chennai. So the plan previously was she was going to take, they were going to drive her to Chennai, and Revati Rama, the temple president of Tirupati, said, if you want, I'll cover your expenses and you can go along with the yatra from Tirupati to the places we were going until Chennai. So she asked me, said, Maharaj, is it okay with you? And I said, sure, it's wonderful. If you please come, if you feel comfortable. She said, well, I'm glad you said that because I don't want the, you know, the kind of going with a group of people, they're just tourists and they got their, all this just like going and visiting and taking pictures and, you know, but, you know, a different mood. I said, well, you can associate with the devotees and see what the mood is. And then she said, well, so far my experience has been very nice. What about, is there some service for me? Because she's a devotee, she's service-minded. I said, definitely there's some service. You can be an example so that devotees can learn how to respect a senior Vaishnav. She said, oh, no. I said, no, it's a service. It's not, it will help them to grow in their Krishna consciousness if you are present with us, and automatically, because of the training the verse is describing and the service mood, they'll automatically want to serve you. And that's good. It's, you know, it's not for you. It's, you're doing a service for them. And they're doing a service for you. And that's our life as devotees. I serve you, you serve me. Prabhupada's phrase is, Krishna consciousness is based upon love and trust, give and take. Sometimes we're in the position where we're serving another Prabhu. And if the exchange is in return, oh, you can't serve me, that's, I can't accept any service, because that also is a service. It's part of a loving exchange. Give and take, love and trust. It's not, you know, for me, it's a loving exchange. It's for the other person and for the other person. That's the consciousness of the servant. For the person, for the person. It's part of a loving exchange. Like, Richard asked a very nice question yesterday about, you know, we offer service to Krishna. Well, it's a two-way thing. What happens from Krishna's side? Nice question. I mean, nice question. What does Krishna feel when we serve him? What does Krishna do when we serve him? What's going on? Because it's a relationship. And our simple understanding or teaching from Bhagavad Gita is Yayatam mam prapadyante tam siddhaiva prajamyam. As we approach Krishna, he reciprocates. As Kamsa wants to kill Krishna, Krishna says, okay, you would like that kind of relationship, very well. Then that's I'll kill you. You want to be my enemy? I'll be your enemy. You want to be my friend? I'll be your friend. You want to be my servant? I'll accept your service and I'll also serve you. You want to be my lover? I'll be your beloved. He's reciprocating with. Now, how does this work into the what we're doing right now, the initiation, approaching a spiritual master, being accepted formally in the process of initiation? It's connected directly to this verse. It's Krishna's making an arrangement so that we can be accepted by him. And there are instruments of that service of Krishna's accepting one's submission. It's someone accepts on his behalf. And Krishna is directly manifesting that. It's not impersonalism. At the same time, it doesn't go to the person. Prabhupada gives the example of an ambassador. So the ambassador from some country goes to another country. And they're to be received by that other country as if the president himself or the representative of the whole country comes. But it's not the president isn't the one coming, it's the ambassador. He's representing the government. He's the country as a person. And so, as is culture, some gifts are given. Vedic culture, kings and some representative of the king comes sending a message and gifts are given. If that representative of the king thinks, oh great, I've got a big pocket over here. I got some more big pockets over here and thanks a lot. He's breaking the law. He's under arrest. He's risking his life. Because the gift is given to the person, but it goes to the king. It goes to the government. It goes to the person who he's representing. And similarly, this position of just hearing a lecture where Prabhupada was speaking about submission and the whole process of spiritual life is one of submission. And materialists don't want to submit. It's compete. And the whole way of life that we're brought up in is competition. From the get-go. Academics, compete. Sports, compete. Social interactions, compete. Dominate. Be victorious. Saw somebody walking around with a t-shirt, you know, it said, you know, I forget what it said, something crazy. Something like, you know, if you're gonna play, you gotta win or don't play. Something like that. And this was, you know, going to see Balaji in Tirupati. Spiritual life is submission. We're submitting our false ego, and with the false ego, everything else that is resting upon false ego, our whole illusory conception, whatever we think is mine, I and mine are submitted at the feet of the personality of Godhead, and it's done through the medium of the spiritual master, and it's so beautiful because the spiritual master position is a direct manifestation of Krishna. So it's Krishna's accepting the submission, but he does so through Prabhupada's term is the current link. Many of the places that we went in South India, there were Sri Vaishnava priests worshipping the deity, and because I'm a sannyasi, they brought me up to the front and did a little puja, and invariably they ask in their language to the person we're with, what is his name? Because they offer something in the name of the person that is the beneficiary or being honored. So, Ramapada Swami. And then they ask, what is his gotra? And it's Mlacha. But rather it's Achyuta Gotra. And the pujaris didn't flinch. They didn't like, what? It's because being initiated means being part of Krishna's family. Whenever this body, the first birth, there's initiation. Like, you know, a born again Krishna. Where there's birth by the Vedas, the mother, and the spiritual master, the father. And with that, a name. Like when the baby is born, they give a name. That's one birth. And this Dvija, spiritual name, Krishna Das or Vishnu Das or the servant of Krishna, something in relation to Krishna or Krishna's devotee or Krishna's qualities or Krishna's associates or Krishna's pastimes. We become a servant of Krishna or a servant of Krishna. And the spiritual master is to be respected just from the scripture directly as Krishna. It's something like the Vedic understanding that when a stranger or some unexpected person comes to your door, what's the culture say? They're to be treated as if this is Narayan. Isn't it? That's the culture. Because maybe it is. And even if it isn't, that's the culture. That's the training. And similarly, the spiritual master isn't Krishna. The spiritual master is to be respected in that way because of being a direct manifestation. And the submission to the spiritual master doesn't go to the person any more than the ambassador has many pockets and puts the gifts in his pockets and gets thrown in jail because he's absconded with property that belongs to the king or the government. It immediately goes to his spiritual master and his spiritual master and his spiritual master. It goes like electricity down a copper wire. It goes to the powerhouse. It goes to Krishna. Provided the spiritual master is transparent, is factually representing, and is free from that contamination of thinking, I'm the enjoyer of all I survey. And this is a nice enjoying position. It's a service position. It's a nice service position, as any position is a nice service position. Now we'll go to where we started Friday evening with the instruction that Lord Chaitanya gave to Kurma, the Brahmin, who wanted to leave his material situation, his family, his duties, and just travel with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya immediately said, never speak like this again. Okay. There's an instruction. And then what you should do is stay in your position and, as far as possible, constantly chant the holy name of Krishna. And the messages that you heard during their discussion, they had many messages that were shared. No tape recorder or video camera or anything like that, but the memory of the qualified brahmana, kurma, whatever you've received, whatever you can remember and recall, speak that to others. And in this way, become spiritual master wherever you go, whoever you see. So that's an instruction too. And it's not just somebody seated on this seat, it's an instruction of how to, for everyone, all the followers of Lord Chaitanya. Because as Lord Chaitanya traveled, it wasn't just Kurma Brahman he spoke in that way too. It was everyone that he met he spoke in that way too. Even the people on the street who came and saw his ecstatic mood and just wanted to be with him. And he then asked them, stopped and said, chant, Hari, Hari. And they chanted, Hari, Hari. And as they were chanting and chanting and chanting, and he embraced them, their whole being erupted in ecstatic devotion. He invested in them love of God and told them, same thing, go and encourage others to chant the holy name in an ecstatic mood. So they did. And they in turn transformed others in a similar way who transformed others. And this was Lord Chaitanya's method. This is Lord Chaitanya's instruction. We've been speaking about receiving an instruction. So this is one of those situations. We've been instructed by our founder Acharya and his wonderful teachings to, same as Lord Chaitanya taught, chant the holy name. And the assembled devotees who are being initiated in the Harinam Diksha, they've taken that instruction, made that instruction a very important foundational instruction in their lives. And as a result, here they are, being accepted by, initiation means on the one side submission, the other side acceptance. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's teaching is that proportionate to the submission, the experience will be different. And from Krishna's side too. Krishna is just reciprocating. And what he's reciprocating with is our submission and our love and our letting go of the material and accepting, receiving, embracing the spiritual position. Initiation is the formalization of that. Whereas prior to initiation, it's the same thing and informal, then becomes formal. Acceptance. Part of Krishna. So next time somebody asks you what your gotra is, you know, you say, Achyuta Gotra. Because the other devotees, they were also, what is your name? And what is your gotra? Something, something. Achyuta Gotra. The pujaris didn't blink, they just, you know, did their seva. Achyuta Gotra. We become part of the same spiritual family. We have our duties to our immediate family. They're not abandoned. They don't become zero or impersonal. But all of it becomes a service unto Achyuta or unto Krishna. That's the significance of initiation. It's wonderful. One other thought on the question that Richard asked yesterday. There's a verse written by Rupa Goswami, which describes, no, excuse me, it's in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami, which describes in the process of initiation, there are two things that happen, along with the submission, is the eradication of sins and the awakening of transcendental knowledge. Both are agencies of Krishna. because Krishna is the source of all knowledge. And one who submits unto the representative of Krishna, the capacity for knowledge to awaken within happens at once. Meaning, the soul has this constitutional position, Sat, Chit, and Ananda. Inherent within the soul is already knowledge. Inherent within the soul is already devotion. Love of God is inherent within the soul, but is dormant. And by that submission and the acceptance, then transcendental knowledge, potentially, because it's receiving the instruction, taking to heart as one's life and soul the instruction to accept Krishna and be accepted by Krishna, then sins are eliminated, the obstacles, at least, you know, the slate is clean, therefore the recommendation is don't commit further. So we have these 10 offenses to very carefully guard against so that we don't implicate ourselves further in the entanglement of material existence. And if we steadfastly continue the process of chanting, trying purposefully, attentively to avoid the 10 offenses, we recite them in our temples all over the world every morning because they're so important, then potentially the chanting of the holy name can carry one all the way to Goloka Vrindavan, to the kingdom of God, and awaken our full knowledge of our relationship with Krishna. Real knowledge is that, our spiritual identity, our position as servant, and our relationship with Krishna. And life and all of its various manifestations, the material and spiritual side, the devotional practices and the worldly duties that we are obliged to take up. Krishna's presence and Krishna's reciprocation is there with us from this very simple activity of chanting. And gradually, this stage of initiation, acceptance. So, here's an instruction, universal and specific. Be very careful to guard against the 10 offenses. Take vows to commit to chanting, and implicit within those, to chant the holy name for the rest of your life, there has to be qualitative improvement. Otherwise, how can one continue? Taste won't be there, and taste isn't there. How long can we continue? So, ongoing submission, the capacity to submit, the reciprocation from Krishna becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. That's our opportunity to realize Krishna and as full as a living entity can realize Krishna, by carefully guarding against these 10 offenses. So, we'll do the initiation vows now and give you your beads and your name. So I think we'll start with Suresh and Golsha. Can you make a little space in front of Prabhupada's Vyasa-san for them?
Could you move so they can sit right here? You can back or wherever you want to go.
Moment. Do you remember when, what was the year when I first visited your home when you were living in Palatine? Do either of you remember?
95, 96.
Do the math. 15, 16 years. Neha, how old are you?
I'm 19.
19. So you were 4 years old? Long road. You made it. Very, very sincere devotees for as long as anyone has seen them, always willing to serve, always willing to be there to help other devotees, to help the temple, to help whatever's going on. They love to serve. And if any of you can not only produce two children, but two children of the quality of Rajiva Neha, you've achieved a great, great accomplishment in this age of Kali. Lots of help from... A lot of help from your friends and the various devotees who have been party to the principle that to raise a child it takes a village. So we've applied that process with your family and fantastic success. I don't mind at all praising your son and daughter before all the Vaishnavas. I don't even mind if they feel embarrassed. It's wonderful accomplishment, and here we are with your initiation. So, the four rules that you follow?
No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit.
Okay. And you'll chant how many rounds every day on your beads?
At least 16.
At least 16. And Srila Prabhupada's teachings will be the guiding light of your life, the rest of your life.
Yes.
Of course. Your initiated name is Stoka Krishna Das. Stoka Krishna is a cowherd boy. One of Krishna's favorite cowherd boys.
No eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and no illicit sex.
Okay. And the rounds that you'll chant every day?
16.
16 minimum. Very good. And like your husband, you'll carefully follow Prabhupada's teachings, as you have been for 15, 16 years, for the rest of your life, of course. Your initiated name is Manasi Ganga.
Hare Krishna!
Needs no explanation. I don't know if you've noticed. Well, you can take your places. Now, you two can come. Kusha, make space for her to come. Or both of them to come. You can come this way. Come this way. Fantastic. Of all the places in creation, Vrindavan is a favorite place for me, and in Vrindavan, Govardhan is a favorite place. I don't know if you've noticed, but whenever we go to Manasi Ganga, it's like, ooh, Manasi Ganga. Dasi. I can, if they'd like, just play a replay of the conversation about Stoka Krishna and Manasi Ganga with Anand and Aparna. Their eagerness to serve the devotees, when devotees have some difficulty, they don't have to call. They're there taking care. Isn't it, Rupa? They're like... When Rupa had some difficulty, or Sri Radhika had some difficulty, and they just want to serve devotees. take their heart out and put it, you know, take it. It's yours. We just want to serve. Even their schedule. I know their schedule. Their schedule is so full, they hardly have time for anything. But there's always time to serve the devotees. And another part of the replay is their daughter Shreya. Amazing devotee. Where'd she go? Oh, there she is. Okay. You can plug your ears and pretend I'm not speaking. But you know how I feel, so it's no problem. Such a wonderful family with help from the Vaishnavas. But excellent behavior in school, excellent care for the devotee children, I'm speaking Shreya, excellent in her academics, chanting 16 rounds every day. I mean, I know that many devotees give reports and they're not steady, but even giving her reports, she's very steady. She's like such an... And one of the best actresses in the St. Louis congregation. Everybody loves this family. So that Jivanajiva and Sri Radhika couldn't come was they were regretting, but circumstance, medical condition for their child, and couldn't come. So this one, I remember the Gulbi Dad is yours. their initiation vows, another long expected moment. How many rounds you'll chant on these beads every day? And the rules that you'll follow? And you'll continue very carefully to follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings, yeah? Your initiated name is Ananda Vardhana. Vardhana means expanding. Ananda Vardhana, it means bliss that's ever expanding. Das. Rules that you'll follow? Okay. And on these nice Tulsi beads, you'll chant how many rounds every day?
Minimum 16.
And along with your husband and your daughter, you'll follow carefully Prabhupada's teachings, yeah? Your initiated name is Ananga Manjari Dasi. You can read about Ananga Manjari. Just look up Srimati Radharani and Sridham, and you'll find who out Ananga Manjari is. So why don't both of you come, just so we have a little space here. Come forward, both Patrick and Manoharan. Your father speaks English?
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Patiences. Could you describe briefly? This is his good son over here. And could you describe what inspired you to practice Krishna consciousness as seriously as you're now practicing Krishna consciousness?
I was actually... I was actually inspired by my son, Ramananda's.
Haribol.
I'm really proud of it. I'm really proud of some of the best.
Okay. There's a very nice story. That's a story, a history, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with two devotees, Raghunandan and his father. And he asked his father, which of you is the son and which of you is the father? And he said, Raghunandan's the father because I became inspired by his devotion and therefore I have become a devotee of you and therefore I accept him as my father. And Lord Chaitanya said, correct. So Krishna consciousness is mysterious, how the son can become the father. But spiritually speaking, that can be. So for the benefit of those devotees that have relationships with parents that may or may not so much understand, if you're good examples of what the teachings of Krishna consciousness are, it can inspire your parents to come to this same stage. I mean, where do I put your beads? Right here. So, on these beads you'll chant how many rounds every day?
Minimum 16 rounds.
Minimum 16. How long have you been chanting 16 rounds?
I've been chanting 16 rounds from 2007.
2007.
And from 2009, I have gone to 24 to 32.
From 2009, you were chanting 24 to 32. But 16 minimum is a good vow. How old are you now?
68.
May you live a nice long life chanting 16 rounds minimum. And the rules that you follow? Rules for the four regular principles?
No intoxicants.
Yeah.
No illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating.
Okay, very good. And you like Prabhupada's teachings, right? And you'll follow them very carefully, right? Very good. Your initiated name is Madhusudan Das.
Hare Krishna!
Thank you very much. And last but not least, there's your coach and your spiritual guide and your best friend, and one who has helped you at every step of your Krishna consciousness, Jai Jagannath, watching happily. Nityananda Pran, who has been taking that role in addition of late. Kishore Kishori. Tulsi Devi. You better make sure those vows keep, all these witnesses. The four rules that you'll follow. And the number of rounds you'll chant every day.
16.
And Prabhupada's teachings will continue to guide you throughout your whole life. Yes?
Yes, Lord.
Your initiated name is Patraka Das.
Hare Krishna!
Another cowherd boy. Raktak. Patraka. Stoka Krishna. These are common names for Krishna's dearmost cowherd boyfriends. Das. Okay, so now we'll chant Sri Brahma Samhita together.